Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, July 22nd, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The power and phones went out Friday morning in Sitka. The outage began around 9:25, affected the entire city, and lasted a little more than an hour in most places. Andy Egan runs the generation systems for the city-owned electric utility. He says in an email that the problem originated at the Blue Lake substation when some old protective relays tripped open some circuits. They're due to be replaced as part of the ongoing Blue Lake expansion program. An outside expert will come to Sitka to troubleshoot the issue sometime this week. In the meantime, the city is running on hydropower from Green Lake and from the Jarvis Street diesel plant. The outage knocked Sitka's landline phone service out for a better part of the day. Heather Cavanaugh is spokeswoman for Alaska Communications, also known as ACS.
We lost some of our local phone service and internet service. All of our wireless services are up and running, and it looks like we've been able to restore a lot of services.
Crews are still working to restore 100% phone service to everyone. Cavanaugh said just before 4:30 p.m. that some customers were still without a dial tone. She says the exact cause of the phone outage is unknown.
So I think anytime things like that happen, we always take time to look into what's that root cause, how can we prevent it from happening again, and that's something we'll certainly be looking into.
There were no injuries or damage as a result of the outage. Power was restored to most areas by 10:45 a.m., but some isolated areas had longer outages. The power outage also knocked Raven Radio off the air until about 10:40 a.m. Friday. We have emergency generators for power outages, and while the one here at the cable house activated right on cue, the one at our transmitter site did not. General Manager Ken Fate says the problem was a result of some settings, which have since been corrected. Southeast Alaska's new redistricting boundaries eliminate the possibility of at least one House election rematch, but they could lead to some other challenges. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The House district plan created for last year's elections put Haines and Sitka together for the first time. That led to a very close race between incumbent Representative Bill Thomas, a Haines Republican, and challenger Jonathan Christ Tompkins, a Sitka Democrat. Christ Tompkins won by 32 votes, less than 0.5%. So many expected Thomas to file for a rematch.
I get asked the same question 5 to 10 times a day. Are you going to run again?
But that redistricting plan was overturned by the courts, and the new one for 2014's election puts Thomas in the same district as Representative Beth Kurtula, a Juneau Democrat.
Being downtown Juneau and coming from Haines, I don't think I could possibly win in that district. So I would, if I were to run, and the big word is if I were to run, I would have to seriously consider running for the Senate seat. And that's if Senator Egan would have stepped down.
Thomas is interested because the Senate seat includes the downtown Juneau and Haines district, plus Juneau's Republican majority Mendenhall Valley House district. That said, the incumbent in that Senate district, Juneau Democrat Dennis Egan, expects to run next year.
Yeah, I think so. At least one more term. If I get 4 more years, it'll be fine. I'm going to try hard.
Egan, a former Juneau mayor, says he's mostly okay with the new election boundaries because they make districts more compact. But Kurtula, the incumbent in the downtown Haines-Skagway district, says it's odd because it leaves Juneau's Mendenhall Valley district as an enclave.
I think that they kind of tortured it a bit to move downtown Juneau and Douglas all the way around the rest of the area to come in, and that looks political to me. But having said that, again, my focus is just going to be more on, you know, doing a good job, representing people well, and campaigning hard.
So she'll run again next year with Haines in her district. Further south, Petersburg gets its wish under the new boundaries, separating from the downtown Juneau House District and joining Sitka and numerous villages. Christ Tompkins, the Sitka Democratic representative, says the changes are fine with him.
It's all southeast Alaska, and as long as it doesn't include parts of Anchorage or the Matsu, I'm pretty happy. I like all of southeast.
Even without Haines's Thomas in the district, some speculate Christ Tompkins could be vulnerable in the next election. But so far, no one has made a point of announcing plans to run against him. Others have wondered about Wrangell Republican Peggy Wilson, who used to also represent Sitka and Petersburg. The 2002 redistricting effort shifted her into an area dominated by Ketchikan. It's pretty much the same for 2014, and there's talk of a serious contender from the larger city. Wilson couldn't be reached for immediate comment, but in a recent interview, she said she'd run again, whomever she represents.
I think the plan that they put forward this time is more reasonable and fair to the public than the previous plan.
Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman represents the same communities as Wilson and Christ Tompkins, and like them, his district has undergone some changes, such as losing Haines and gaining Petersburg. He points to Southeast's loss of two of its eight legislative seats in the last and this year's redistricting changes, so he's less worried about exact boundaries and more concerned about the increasing legislative dominance of Anchorage and other cities in the Rail Belt.
It doesn't make a whole lot of difference if you're in Metlakatla, or you're in Sitka, or you're in Cake, or you're in Petersburg or Wrangell. You're all in rural Alaska, and we're all together. And we just need to make sure we're all paddling in the same direction so we don't get left behind.
The latest redistricting plan was released July 14th, and, like its predecessor, it could face legal challenges. If it stands, its boundaries won't take effect until after the 2014 elections. That means lawmakers will continue serving their current districts through next year's legislative meetings. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The state's new office space policy is already under a microscope. An administrative law judge recently said the state violated its own procurement code while selecting a furniture dealer. Lisa Fu has been following the issue very closely.
With the push of a button, new desks in Juneau State Office Building can be accommodated for sitting or standing. Publications tech Jesse Swanson likes the option.
When my legs get restless in the afternoon, I'm able to stand up.
The sit-stand desks have been installed in the seventh-floor offices of the Division of General Services. The ergonomic desks and other new furniture come from Capital Office, an Alaska company with offices in Juneau, Anchorage, and Fairbanks. The company was selected by General Services to be the sole furniture supplier as state office buildings across all regions adopt space standards. The Division of General Services is the state's leader on procurement and helps other agencies with leasing and purchasing. Four other companies competed for the space standards furniture contract: Bowers Office Products in Fairbanks, Juneau Business Interiors, Competitive Edge in Juneau, and Arctic Office Products in Anchorage. General Services told the companies they couldn't protest the selection, but Bowers filed one anyway. It led to an administrative hearing. Bowers Office Products versus the Division of General Services. The case was heard in front of Administrative Law Judge Jeffrey Friedman, who said General Services' selection of Capital Office did not comply with state procurement code. Capital Office Supply was selected through a process called a request for submissions, never before used by the state. General Services Director Tom Mayer says it's similar to a request for proposals.
It follows the same process. You collect costs from a vendor. You collect things that you're going to analyze, such as their management plan, their asset plan, their storage, their freight capabilities, and things like that. So you're collecting data that you're analyzing. We're telling them how we're going to analyze it. So it essentially is an RFP.
An RFP is part of state procurement code. A request for submissions is not. Alaska is part of the Western States Contracting Alliance, a cooperative purchasing organization of 15 states. The alliance currently has contracts with four office furniture manufacturers that establish set discounts. Alaska procurement code allows the state to access these discounts through a cooperative purchasing agreement. Administrative Law Judge Friedman said General Services didn't simply participate in the alliance contracts. The request for submissions asked dealers to supply even deeper discounts and called for other services like contract administration and warehousing plans. Friedman said that materially altered the terms of the alliance contract. He said General Services should have entered into a new contract for furniture being purchased, one that complied with state code. Judge Friedman recommends the state cancel the Capital Office contract and pay Bowers Office Products its cost for preparing the proposal. The contracts already established by the alliance allow General Services to simply choose a vendor. General Services Director Mayer explains why General Services didn't do that.
We wanted to give the vendors in Alaska an opportunity to compete for our projects, to have the ability to become our dealer. So we did a selection process to determine who was going to provide us the most advantageous proposal and package for everything, rather than just selecting one.
Bowers made a verbal commitment to the state to not speak to the press during the appeal stage of the case, but at least one other company that submitted a proposal is upset with the selection process. Arctic Office Products President Bill Borchard has been with the company for over 40 years.
Through one way or another, we have accounts with, maybe 100 state agencies. There are many, many, many state agencies that buy from us.
Borchard says in all his dealings with the state, the request for submission selection process was unlike anything he's seen before. Arctic Office Products offered a greater discount on furniture than Capital Office, but Arctic didn't score well on the other parts of the submission, like project management.
It was such a setup. I mean, just because it was so unfair, and even the legal system could figure that out.
So far, the state has purchased over $1 million worth of office furniture from Capital Office for universal space standards in state office buildings in Juneau and Anchorage. The Bowers versus General Services case is now in the hands of Administration Commissioner Becky Holtberg. She has the final say on Judge Friedman's proposed decision. Commissioner Holtberg can adopt, reject, adopt in part, rewrite, or send the decision back to the Office of Administrative Hearings for continued proceedings. Holtberg has until Monday to take action. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. It's currently 57 degrees downtown Sitka. Today in Sitka, expect showers with highs around 62. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.